ecology check is when you're trying to persuade somebody of something, particularly if you're using the powerful tools of persuasion that I lay out in the book, please be honest. It's just the bottom line. You know, is this ecological? Is this something that's actually going to work for the benefit of you as well as your listener and of the world at large when we're dealing with those, you know, issues at that level? It is, you know, entirely possible to persuade people using tools of persuasion to do things that are not in their best interest. You know, unethical advertising does that all the time. Many politicians do that. And I think that's unecological is the word that I use in the book, and something that, you know, frankly, part of the book is a call for ethics in politics.
Right. You also write about anchoring, and you compare the television ads between George W. Bush and John Kerry back in 2004. You write that ultimately Kerry's ads made him, well, combined with the anti-Kerry ads by the Bush campaign, they combined reinforce the image of him not only as a flip-flopper, but also as a lazy flip-flopper. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, well, you know, Kerry was always wearing a suit and always looking relatively professorial in the ads, and Bush would show up in his ads, you know, with his shirt sleeves rolled up, sitting at his desk in the White House, and I'm the guy who's getting things done, and I'm the guy who works hard, and the reality is that emotion is what drives most decisions with regard to politics. In fact, I saw a study recently that only 7% of Americans actually are influenced by issues, you know, actually seriously, carefully look at issues when making political decisions. Most people just do a gut check, and which is not uncommon. I mean, it's how we make many of the decisions in our lives, whether it's buying a car or you know, picking what we're going to have for lunch. And so it shouldn't surprise us that it happens in politics. And Kerry was just way too cerebral, and so were his ads.
Right. Again, we're speaking with Tom Hartman, the author of the new book, Cracking the Code. Let's talk about health care, which, of course, has been an issue talked about by all the candidates and seemingly will become a bigger one when we get the general election next year. Of course, on the campaign trail, the Democrats have all their specific plans, but the GOP's candidates are a little more fuzzy on what they want. Of course, we know what they don't want, socialized medicine. That's what they keep on referring to, especially, and even the president's referred to this, going back to this S-CHIP debate. That's pretty powerful, is it not, in this country, when you use those words, you use socialize with medicine?
Yeah, and I'm surprised that the Democrats haven't taken that frame and flipped it upside down, because it would be so easy to do. Essentially, somebody is going to be making the choices about your medical care. And, you know, in socialized medicine, the Soviet style, you've got a government that is not responsive to the people making choices, and that's not something that any of us would want. And that's what the Republicans are trying to characterize Democrats being in favor of. But really what it's going to boil down to, or the way that Democrats could flip it, is they could say, well, Republicans are in favor of socialized medicine, that is, medicine being run by people to whom who are not accountable to us, those being the CEOs of the big health insurance companies. I mean, you can't vote for the CEO of a big health insurance company. You got somebody like William McGuire from United Healthcare, the second largest health insurance company in the United States, took $1.78 billion in compensation when he left his job last year. I mean, this guy's not going to take your phone call, and you can't vote for him. So do we want our healthcare decisions to be made ultimately by people who we can throw out of office and we can persuade, or do we want them to be made by, you know, distant bureaucrats and big corporations who operate in multiple countries and just don't give a damn about us? And the Democrats really need to frame it like that and suggest that what the Republicans are pushing for with this private healthcare system where all the decisions are made by for-profit corporations is the worst form of socialized medicine.
Let's talk about the Iraq War and the language there between the Republicans and Democrats. You've talked in your book about, and again, we're speaking to Tom Hartman, Air America radio host and also the author of the new book, Cracking the Code. You talk about talking about the Iraq War versus the Iraq occupation. Now, it seems to me the GOP has this down, because on the talk shows, when they discuss Iraq, they say Americans don't like to lose wars. And they use the quote that Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, made months ago when he said that the war has been lost, which seems to me, Tom Hartman, to put him and the Democrats on the defensive when it's looked at in that prism.
Mitch, you're absolutely right, and this is a disaster for the Democrats. I wrote an op-ed 2 years ago pointing this out, and a few of them picked it up, and actually for about a week, a number of Democrats were using the word occupation when they were being interviewed and instead of the war. Wars are when you knock down a government, you knock down their army, you take control of their land, you occupy their buildings We did that. We had a very successful war against Iraq. You can argue whether it was legal or illegal, but it was a very successful war. It lasted, you know, less than a month. It was George Bush stood on the aircraft carrier and declared the end of the war, and he was right. He had a successful war. Then began the occupation. And when we occupied Germany and Japan, and my father was part of the Japanese occupation forces, we basically gave the money to their governments and their businesses and said, okay, rebuild your cement industry, rebuild your steel industry, rebuild your roads, you do it yourself. And that put their own people back to work, and those occupations were successful, from the Marshall Plan in Europe to simply, you know, helping Japan get themselves back on their feet in Japan. In the case of Iraq, we've totally screwed up the occupation by not giving any of the money to the Iraqis and instead giving the money to Halliburton and to Bechtel and big American corporations. It's been wonderful for the contributors to the Republican Party. It's been a disaster for the Iraqi people. And the Democrats still refer to this as a war, I think in large part because the media refuses to let go of that frame, because war is so sexy and it drives viewership and it drives people. You know, they love their war graphics and their war sounds. And I don't think it serves the American people or the debate well. Nobody likes to lose a war. Everybody wants to end an occupation.
Absolutely. Last question for you, Tom, and that is, you write about something, and of course you're a communicator, you do this for a living, so I think you know this very well, and that is that human beings have a real limited attention span, even, you know, quite intelligent people do. And you write in the book about a learning trance. How do you induce that?
There are a number of ways to induce a learning trance, Mitch. One of the easiest is to be multimodal, to shift back and forth between, can you see what I'm talking about? Here's the picture that's really important, and let me now tell you the story of this, and at the same time give you a good feeling for it, so we can see that we want America to be the shining city on the hill, and also use, by the way, in the context of doing this, also use timing to create that trance. So we want America to be that shining city on the hill that everybody can look at and hear the story of America, hear the story of democracy, and get a and have an opportunity to reach out and grab freedom for themselves. And so now you're appealing to the visuals, the auditories, and the kinesthetics. You're moving people through the experience, different sensory experiences, and you use pacing and timing to cause them to attend to you. And, you know, that moment of pause will cause people to refocus their attention.